Well, happy Easter Sunday to all you brothers and sisters and uncles and aunties who have joined us for our Easter Day service. It's a really rare chance for MKCCC, Calvary and Crossway to all join together for a Sunday service. And it's even more rare for us to be able to do this on an Easter Sunday. I think this is actually the first time that all three congregations can come together and celebrate Easter Sunday together. So we're very, very grateful to God for this very, very rare opportunity, even if it is online. And it's a real blessing to be able to share such an important day in the Christian calendar together. And I pray that God has already been speaking and working through you in the service so far, and I pray that he'll continue to speak to you as we look at his word now. So we know Easter Sunday is a day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we celebrate all the things that it represents. The resurrection represents the freedom that we now have, our freedom from our sins, freedom from having to face eternal punishment. It's a day where we celebrate our relationship with God, that through the resurrection, we can now have an intimate relationship with God, who we can now call our own Father. But today, as we look at the passage, Paul reminds us that the resurrection also represents something else. How it represents God is now also bringing his people closer together too. The resurrection is not just a symbol of God's reconciliation with humanity, but it's also a symbol of now how his people are being reconciled together as well. And I think with all three congregations gathered here today, it's a very, very special message for us. I think today's a really good chance for us to ask, well, how does the resurrection of Jesus bring all three congregations even closer together? On how can this Easter be a chance for us to strengthen our friendships with each other even more? And to help us think about these things, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, which is part of Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. Now, the Ephesian church was very, very special to Paul because of all the churches that he was pastoring, the Ephesian church was particularly diverse. It was made up of people from all kinds of ethnicities. We had Jewish people, we had Gentile people. It was also a church made up of people of different social classes. We had people who were rich, who owned land, but we also had people who were poor, who were even slaves in some cases. And when Paul looked at this church, he knew if this church could stay united, it would be such a powerful witness to the truth of the gospel, because despite such diversity in this church, if they could find unity, it was a testament and a sign and a reflection of the truth of the gospel. And so in this chapter that we're looking right now, Paul gives the Ephesians a few key principles on how to strengthen their unity and to strengthen their relationships with one another in the church. And I hope as we read through and look at some of these principles that it might be useful for us today. And as we look at the passage, we'll see that Paul reminds us of three very, very important principles. And the first principle is, you have been united already. And the second point is, it is the Holy Spirit that unites us. And the third principle is unity comes through sharing and serving one another. So we start with our first point, which is you have been united already. We see at the beginning of the passage, Paul says to the Ephesian church in verses 2 and 3, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One of the really interesting things Paul says to the Ephesian church here is to keep the unity of the Spirit. Paul doesn't say to the Ephesian church to create unity or to establish unity. He says, keep the unity of the Spirit. What Paul is saying to these church members is that you are already united to each other, whether you realize it or not. And he's saying to us as Christians, when we become Christians, we are immediately united to all our fellow believers and we become part of this wider family under God. Now, we often forget this, I think. We often think that we are only united to the people in our particular church, Or we think that we're only united to the people that we are friends with in our church, or we're just united to the people that we agree with or have the same opinions with in our church. Paul is saying this is not true at all. When we become believers, we become united with all other believers around the world. And this is very, very important in helping us value our unity. Many of us grew up with siblings, with brothers and sisters, and we know that there have been times as we've grown up together that we have arguments with our siblings. And sometimes we can have really serious arguments where we just completely disagree with each other and we can't find any way to agree and we just stay angry at each other and we don't try and reconcile. Quite often in these situations, the parents have to get involved, mum and dad have to get involved, and so often they'll say, I don't care what you two are arguing about. I don't care what has happened. I want you two to make peace, because at the end of the day, she is your sister or he is your brother. Our parents remind us that no matter the argument, no matter what has happened, we are still united by blood. And that does not change. And because of that, we should always try to work on our relationship with each other. And this is what Paul is saying to the church here in Ephesus and says to all of us Christians. No matter how much we might disagree or what we think of each other, at the end of the day, you have still been united. You have been united in one spiritual family. You share the same spiritual blood. And you cannot stay content at being distant from each other, because we are one family. Easter Sunday is a really good reminder as well that this family that God has given us did not come cheaply. To create this family, God actually had to pay the ultimate price himself by sending his one and only precious son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. All Christians and everyone in this Zoom call right now, we can call each other brothers and sisters because God paid the price through Jesus first. So when we turn our backs on one another, what we are actually doing, we are actually turning our back on the sacrifice that God made to bring us together in the first place. And we know we cannot do that. As Paul says here, we are one family. We are all united by the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's Jesus' blood actually that binds us all together. And actually this blood binds us together in the deepest way possible, even deeper than if we all share the same genes. And because of this, Paul says, let's keep the unity that God has already given us. But he also says, and he reminds us, that this unity cannot be kept by our own strength. Paul also says in verses 7 and 8, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." This is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he took many captives, and he gave gifts to his people." We come to our second point, which is, it is the Holy Spirit that unites us together. We know church unity can be difficult, and we know it's difficult because we have people in our churches with different ideas, we have different personalities, we have different backgrounds, we have different cultures. And because of all that, all those differences, it can be quite hard to maintain unity when we have such differing opinions. But Paul encourages us here that when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to his people. When Jesus resurrected and eventually returned to heaven, he left behind a gift to help us. What is that gift? This gift is, of course, the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that helped Jesus throughout his whole earthly ministry. It's the same Spirit that actually resurrected Jesus from the grave. This is the same Spirit that Jesus now gives us. And this is the same Spirit that continually works to unite us together. The early church fathers actually named the Holy Spirit Vinculum Amoris. And this is Latin to mean bond of love. And they named the Holy Spirit this because they knew the main role of the Holy Spirit was to try and unite people through the bond of Jesus Christ's love. And it's trying to do this even now, all the time. And so, as we think about this, perhaps it's a reminder for us right now to be a bit more aware of what the Holy Spirit is already trying to do amongst us, even right now in this call, that it is trying to draw us together through the bond of Christ's love. It's the Holy Spirit that unites the people in our own churches of Calvary, MKCC, and Crossway. But this Holy Spirit is also working amongst us three congregations to bring us closer together as well. It is always trying to do this. So today's a reminder as well to allow the Holy Spirit to do this work, to bring us into closer friendship, into closer communion with each other. And this is an encouragement, I think, actually. God has not simply left us alone in the task of trying to be a united church family, but actually God is right here helping us through his Spirit in trying to bring us together. God has not left us alone. He's right here helping us. So let's just remember, it is the Holy Spirit that is trying to unite us. We move on to our third point, and that is that unity comes through sharing and service to each other. In the final few verses of the passage, Paul says in verse 11 and 12, "So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Here, Paul reminds us that a united church is one where its members serve one another. It also says here that God has given the people of the church many different gifts. And these gifts could be spiritual and ministerial gifts, such as the gift of teaching, the gift of pastoral care. But it also includes material gifts. He might have given us gifts of money, gifts of time, buildings and resources. All these are gifts from God. But what Paul challenges us to do here is to use these gifts not just to serve our own interests or even just our own church communities, but to use these gifts to help serve those fellow brothers and sisters who are lacking maybe in those areas. Those of us with gifts of teaching, we should look to serve and help those people who might not have that gift. Those with the gift of pastoral care, we should go and help those people who might be lacking in that area. Those of us with resources and money, Paul is saying, share with those who are struggling. We do this to serve one another. And that is how we try to build dependence, is how we strengthen our relationships and how we strengthen unity together. In my last few years working at Crossway, I've been really pleased actually how Crossway has grown, in particular in the last year during lockdown. And I'm not just encouraged by the number of people that attend our services. I'm more encouraged by how I see more and more Crossway members becoming more and more concerned with each other. And I see this both at the youth level. I also see this at the young adult level. But I see more and more all the time how these members are willing to invest their own time and their own energy to try and serve one another, to help each other when there's in need. I see how many of the leaders in Crossway spend so much time in meetings, even though they all have full-time jobs, to be in these meetings, to plan and to think about how they can help the members of Crossway even more. And I'm not going to embarrass any of you guys by using you as an example, but you know who you are. And I can really start to see in recent years how Crossway is becoming this serving community that Paul is talking about here in Ephesians. And I see that in this process where we have been serving each other more and more, we are actually growing closer together and we're becoming a real family. But at the same time, here at Crossway, we're also thankful for this opportunity because it has been through MKCCC and Calvary's blessings that Crossway has been supported right from the very beginning. It's your gifts and resources that you've shared with us that you've allowed us to grow and develop. And here at Crossway, we hope that as we begin to grow and to develop the gifts of our own, that one day we can also use these gifts to go and serve MKCCC and Calvary as well. Just like today, how we're hosting the service. But as Crossway experiences these blessings from both these churches, we also hope that MKCCC and Calvary will continue to serve and bless each other as well, in the same way you two have been blessing us. And we would love to see this, because if this can happen, then we will see all three congregations serving and blessing one another. And if this happens, it will be a sign of all the Chinese Christian communities here in Milton Keynes loving one another as one God's family. And I think that can be a very, very powerful picture if we can realize this. So as Paul is telling us and reminding us, let's continue to share and serve each other with what God has given our particular churches and our particular communities. Let's share with those who are struggling or who do not have what we have in this time. I want to finish on a final question though. And that question is, why is it so important that we are united with one another? Why is it so important that we need to maintain this unity with each other? If you watch the news, you know that the world is just full of fighting and division right now. If we look to America, for example, it's so politically divided between the left and the right. We're also seeing terrible scenes of unwarranted racism spilling out onto the streets, and in recent months, targeted at East Asians in particular. It's hitting quite close to home for some of us. In the UK as well, we've been reading in the news, there's been riots recently, riots against the police and protests against sexism. We know that around the world there's civil war still going on in places like Africa, and of course recently with Myanmar. And of course in Hong Kong, we know that the political situation with China is still getting worse, and Hong Kong itself is still becoming more and more divided as its people disagree on how they should relate to China. When we watch the news, we see more and more people in this world fighting and hurting each other. And more we realize that this world needs peace, it needs healing, it needs reconciliation. Now, Paul realized 2,000 years ago that this peace can only come through the love of Christ Jesus. Only Jesus Christ and the story of the gospel can actually heal the world of all these problems. But crucially, Jesus Christ chooses the church as the place to actually show his love and peace to the world. The healing of the world actually starts with us here in the church, and it starts with us being united with one another first. Because it's only through us being united to each other that we can then show the world how to love each other properly, how to love each other the way in which God designed us to love each other. And so we want our church to be a safe place where people can find peace and safety from all the fighting from the outside world. I know some of us are expecting many families and people from Hong Kong to arrive in the UK in these next few months. And I know many of us are expecting them to join our churches. But I just want to remind us that these families who are having to flee to the UK are fleeing from a place of fighting. And many of them are coming over here to this country, carrying a lot of hurt and carrying a lot of wounds with what has been happening in Hong Kong. And when they arrive in the UK and when they arrive in our churches, we need to make sure that the Chinese church community here in Milton Keynes is united and is a place of peace so that these families can find shelter from all the fighting and all the pain that they've experienced already, so that they can find healing in our church communities. We must not add to their suffering by being a place of division where they can experience even more fighting. Here we are reminded we need to keep the unity, not just for our own benefit, for the benefit of our own churches, but for the sake of the people who are coming to our churches seeking shelter and seeking peace. Easter is a reminder of how God welcomed us as wounded strangers into his peace and loving relationship with his Son and with the Holy Spirit. In the same way, Easter is a reminder that the church, that our churches, should be a place where we can welcome those who are hurting into our church communities where there is love and where there is peace. But this can only happen if we lay down the foundations of peace and unity in our churches now. So I want to finish to MKCCC, to Calvary, to Crossway, I hope this Easter is a reminder for us to keep unity in our own churches, in our own congregations, but let's continue to strengthen the unity between the three congregations as well. Not just for our own sake, but for the sake of the world and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.